Reichman University.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jana Hoffman and Amanda Jakubowicz.
Welcome to De-Influence, a show that explores the world behind the camera, the influencers who can affect our lives and the world in which they live. My name is Jana Hoffman, and with me, as always, is Amanda Jakubowicz. Today, we are joined by nobody. It's just the two of us. We can make it if we try, because we're back to the way we started things. And
we can make it if we try.
Exactly right. And we're just going to keep referencing.
And that's why we're making this episode.
We're going to keep referencing that lyric every chance we get in this episode.
Jonah.
Yeah.
We made a podcast. Like, this is free will. Like, you can just use your free will. You can just do things.
This is a perfect use of free will.
We are the influencers. You're the top influencer, Hezbollah Ra, right now, telling you, just do stuff.
Just do it.
Just literally do stuff.
Like Nike
you just,
says.
Like, make a podcast.
Like Nike
you
says.
You can literally DM random influencers, like, bother them, be like, hi, like, can you come on my show with, like, 3 followers? And they'll be like, yeah, sometimes.
Don't show up at their
and
house,
you just,
though.
Like, do it.
Don't show up at their house. That's a bad idea. But.
No, DM. DM, guys.
DM them.
Social media.
DM them is fine, but do not pester them. Don't pester them, but DM them. But one of the big things. What was your biggest takeaway in not only starting the podcast, but in the process of actually doing the podcast?
The idea of putting yourself out there. Like, I've really just been, like, treating this whole networking, being outgoing, outreaching as, like, almost a muscle that I'm exercising every time. Like, just DMing a new random person and just being like, hi. Like, it's really just an exercise in, like, how to be social, and how to actually, like, end up with something from it, because, like, we're not doing this to be like, oh, like, let's talk to random influencers and then like, no, like, we're here to actually talk about something. Like, I think doing this is something you and I just believe in, Jonah. Like, the idea that there's a conversation within this whole sphere that's not really being had, and we're like, let's slowly seep into it. Now, I think that one of the things that I've been learning episode by episode is how to actually present this information and how to actually get into this content. And I listened back to some of the episodes and I'm like, there is definitely a question that was so much more valuable that I could have asked. And instead I asked that, or I stumbled or whatever. And it's just, it's hard when you're just put on the spot in that moment to be the best version of yourself that you know you could be. It's like when you do a presentation at school, it's very comparable. You have to prepare in advance. You have to make notes. And if something's out of place, and if you're not in the right mindset and didn't have enough preparation, you don't have the result. You're going to go up to that presentation and you're going to say, fine, maybe I got an 80 or something, not bad. That's the free will. You're taking something upon yourself. It feels like an assignment, but it's something that you, like, want to do.
Taking the great example, we're trying to hit 100 every single time. Now, obviously, I don't think that's going to happen every single time. It's just improbable to get 100 every single time, but we're always shooting for that A. And I'll say something that I've learned along the way of doing this is all the guest stuff, like getting the guests on the podcast, having the guests on the podcast, fitting it into the time limit, all of that stuff. I've done podcasting before. I've done radio before. So it was a little bit easier for me, I'll say. But to an extent, this is a very different type of world we're operating in, where previously I've worked with people who've been more political, people who are dealing with more niche topics. These are people who work in a very public way, who work in a very public arena, which is something I'm not used to dealing with. And something that we want to do in this specific episode right here is go episode by episode. We've had 10 episodes, 9 with guests, I believe, that we're going to run through all 9 of those, and we're going to go, okay, what did we learn most? And let's have a conversation about what did we actually learn, because takeaways are different for every single person.
Yeah, there's no point of making this content and referencing this little thesis of the podcast every time if there's not a way to actually go back and say, like, what is the takeaways? What do we conclude from actually doing this? We could have just not done this. We could have not bothered these influencers, and I could have not learned how to, like, edit videos and all of this stuff. We did it for a reason. We did it because there is a piece of conversation that we wanted to bring that we didn't really see was being brought. And I think the way of doing that with the actual influencers involved is the most effective and creative and like significant, substantial way of doing that. And so, yeah, we could have just not done this, but we did it. And so what changed because we did it, and what needs change, and like, what did we actually bring with that? So without further ado, episode one after a pilot was Shachar Cohen.
Great episode.
Finding your niche. Shachar literally, like, Shachar could have made this podcast.
We also wow. got lucky what on the first.
Great third host.
We got lucky wow. on the first try because he was so energetic and had so much energy and all of that. Amazing things which contribute to having a great podcast went into that first episode with a guest, because we had done the pilot beforehand with just the two of us, like this episode, but first episode with a guest, we hit the jackpot. We got all three cherries along the line. That's $1 million right there.
And it's almost like after that, he was just so well versed, and he was so knowing exactly what he was talking about. He lectures on some of these topics at your university, Jonah. Like it was such a great first guest. Anyways, I could literally like Shachar, I remember okay, name drop, but like when I met Zach Morgs like on that same Israel trip, and then I was just like, oh yeah, like I saw Shachar earlier today, and he goes, Shachar's my soulmate. Literally, like, no, he's my soulmate. Wow, I love Shachar Cohen. There's a reel that we made that was like us fangirling over Shachar Cohen. Yeah, but the idea of finding your niche was a great jumping off point. And I think Shachar's episode is one of the episodes we've recorded where, you know how you have a pilot of a TV show and then you have the actual first episode past the pilot? That is like that actual first episode. It laid the groundwork. It anchored us down of the idea of finding your niche. What does that even mean? It's not this exclusive little Hasbara industry. Fine, we see the same like 15 influencers every time. But truly, everyone has it in them to go and either add to the conversation, to add to the humor, to add to the vibes, to add to whatever little ingredients are in there that make our community and what we stand for and what drives us and what keeps us up, especially in such a hard time like this one, is that everyone has what to contribute. But you need to know yourself and you need to know what you contribute. And that was such a good jumping off point, and also something I take with me. But really, every single word Shachar said was valuable, was important, and was fun.
On the flip side of finding your niche, there's just like we're talking about with so many people with untapped voices who should be saying things, who should be out there making videos and making content, or even doing a podcast or long form content, whatever it may be. There's also a bunch of people who shouldn't necessarily be making that content, who shouldn't necessarily be on the front page, who we shouldn't be putting out as our lead influencers, who really aren't saying that much, right? So it comes down to exactly. Who are we putting out there?
He emphasized the importance of importance in what you say. And that's the thing is like, so sorry to jump to the end there, but Charlotte Korchak, I'm going to quote her, your generation has a really good bullshitometer. I'd like to say that we do. I think that's true. And if every influencer just kind of says the same thing and they're not really in their niche, it's visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's visible sooner or later, but it's visible.
Yeah.
And so Shachar kind of made a really great point, and it was a way to introduce the idea of not just, okay, we're unhappy with certain things, what's good, what's bad, blah, 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 but the idea of how to actually start. How to start before you're unhappy or not unhappy. What ingredients do you need to be an influencer in a community like this and in a time like this?
And then
That moves us on to
Noah Barazani, who's the co-founder of Olim in Tel Aviv. And I think that mm-hmm. it was our shortest episode, but there was also a lot of meat to the like meat and potatoes to the episode.
It was the perfect. We make our episodes too
long
because we love talking.
Exactly.
But
and
it was great. It was well done.
It was to the point also. And I think the main thing that was taken away from that one was knowing your audience that you're going to, because Olim in Tel Aviv, and we talked a lot about her with her about this topic, was that Olim in Tel Aviv shockingly has a very broad audience, and a lot of its audience doesn't live in Israel. You'd think most of the audience lives in Israel. It's a lot of very niche, very specific stuff, but it's knowing your audience, and that's why they make a lot of the content they do. That's why they started things like Olim University. But it's knowing your audience and who you're talking to with the content you make.
Yeah, I slowly kind of, this is when my crash out with Aliyah and everything kind of started.
You gotta make Aliyah. And that brings us into Danielle's.
It's not a crash out, it's actually reasonable crash out, because Aliyah, literally, especially after the Canadian election, but we'll get into that in another episode.
And I think Danielle furthered your crash out.
Furthered in a positive way, like progressed. Like, I needed the crash out. Crash out is a positive thing here.
Yes.
But yeah, the idea of Aliyah, and it's just like, why would you do it? Why would you do it? After Danielle, really, like, that Danielle's episode was truly one of the things that brought me to that, like, I want Aliyah. Like, I like it. Like, when I was talking to Noah about it, and you know, she was sharing her experience, and also the way that she supports Olim, you know, we asked her what is the best way to be a part of this community. Like, there's events, there's this, blah, blah, blah. She's like, events, just meeting people. Like, you feel different when you come home from being somewhere versus, like, you could do whatever you want on social media, but that effect of being somewhere and meeting people is you can't compare it. And then moving on to Danielle's episode, where, I mean, the main takeaway there isn't necessarily the Aliyah, but it really did help me in understanding why that's something that I'm okay with saying out loud now. Why I'm okay with saying, yeah, I do want Aliyah. Like, it's that support. It's that why you're doing it. I mean, this is just a continuation to that Aliyah propaganda promo that we made about her episode. But moving on to Danielle's episode, it was being a role model, but she's also a model. Congrats also, Miss Hertzelia. Wow.
I was about to say, congrats, Miss Hertzelia, for the...
Exactly.
Represent, gotta represent.
Mm-hmm, the iconing. And really, like, that is a great example of just, like, being a representative. You are representing yourself. She said, like, every single thing I say, every single thing I do, I imagine someone's making the biggest article in the world on it, and it's on a billboard. It's true. You should hold yourself to a standard like that. And if you're a representative of a community, as whatever word you want to use that's similar to controversial, as the pro-Israel community, you have to be on that. And she just does things in such a graceful way. And this is something I learned, you know, Eurovision just happened at the time we're recording this. And that's something I learned from Eden Golan and Yuval Rafael. And I'll put Danielle Blanca in that same category. You're a representative. You do things with grace and with poise. And I think she's such a good example of that. And that's really something to take away. You can go to the protests and you could yell at the guy with the Palestinian flag and all this stuff. What matters is image and the way you come across and the way you look, and more than just optics, but the vibe that you bring across. And she just, she has this grace to her. I can go on and on, but.
I think her episode was great. And I think her episode inevitably capped off our first, kind of a module of episodes where our first three guest episodes, not including the pilot, the three primary facets of being an influencer, of being a content creator in this community, where Shachar talked about finding your niche, finding what you're good at, finding what you actually have to say. Noah talked about finding the audience you should actually be reaching, finding and knowing the audience that you should be reaching out to. What's the age demographic, and what are the actual cultural demographics? Where do they live? Stuff like that. And Danielle finished off by saying, okay, now here's how you could do it. Here's the actual how. You know who you're going for. Now here's how you represent for you going to. And then the next episode we did with the amazing Shabbos Kestenbaum, who recently spoke in Seattle, who also managed to settle the case against Harvard, finally, which is how he got a lot of his fame. His episode was the beginning of kind of our political arc, almost, of three or four episodes, depending on how you count it, where his is so focused on Jewish students on campus and a lot of the political ramifications of that, where we talked about so much stuff that's hot button issues, especially in the past elections in both the United States and Canada.
And political, he definitely touched on, how couldn't he, his Shabbos Kestenbaum. But a really big thing I learned, and really, like, this is just learning opportunities for me, this whole experience of getting to talk to these influencers. Like, fine, we made a podcast and all of this and promos and all this type of stuff and now all the things we talked about in the beginning of the episode. But I really am taking every conversation that we have here into my daily life. And with Shabbos's, It's the idea of the importance of Jewish education. The main thing that stayed with me after we finished the press the stop recording button was that all of this money in the community, all of this focus on stopping anti-Semitism, so much of that is tackled by just having accessible and high quality Jewish education. And really, if you raise someone with that sense of identity and where they came from, then when they have this big achievement of getting into Harvard or Columbia, they stay with their sense of self, and they won't be, and I'm talking about Jews, they won't be indoctrinated into something like that. Because at the end of the day, this podcast controls, not controls, but we have a say over what we do, not what the people that hate us can do. And really what we can do, the best way to fight is to have a sense of identity and Jewish education. And for me, as someone who's grown up with Jewish education, I really do feel that like it's such an ingrained part of me, and it gives me such a strong sense of principles and values and self.
Mm-hmm. It's also something like I grew up with Jewish education as well. And something he also talked about, which I particularly enjoyed that part of the episode, was when we got into talking about DEI and diversity, equity, inclusion, and CRT, critical race theory, within the college education system, within all these colleges that Jews go to, which they're just trying to go on and get their degree and be a good Jewish kid. But Shabbos really talked about, okay, well, DEI is not only a failure, but the college system as a whole, it's real chicken and the egg issue. Okay, well, they failed to protect their students. They failed to protect the Jewish students on campus. That's part of the reason of the Harvard lawsuit. But the reason they needed to protect them in the first place was because they failed to educate all the other students who are out here chanting death to Israel, death to America, who hate Jews, who hate Israel, who really hate anything and everything in life. The college education system failed to teach them better than that. And it failed to teach them things that actually matter. And it ended up saying, okay, well, actually, you know what? You can hate Israel. You can hate Jews. You can hate America. That's all good and fine. You guys should all go out and do that. The college education system is responsible for doing that. And then on top of that, they're responsible for the failures that they themselves created, the problems that the failures are part of.
And to me, us fighting it is us strengthening ourselves. Really, like, one of the best fighting anti-Semitism organizations, in my opinion, is Chabad, is getting Jews together in their community with something substantial. Like, the cultural aspect of Judaism is very important, and the identity of all that, but also giving them really, like, the values of Judaism, the traditions of Judaism, and where it all comes from. I think that's something that's sort of an extension and an extrapolation of what I learned from Shabbos, but it was a very important episode. And then also the idea, like, I love when we bring people on here and we're like, oh, well, they represent this idea, so we're going to grill them on this, and then that's going to be the episode, and cool. And I, time and time again, we bring people on and we think they're just going to keep saying one thing because that's what we know them for. And we have a nuanced, dynamic conversation, which is why I love this long-form structure. We bring Shabbos, and he's just going to be like, yeah, Trump's great, and this and that, whatever, all the same things that he says. But we were actually able to have a nuanced conversation, and I think we're jumping, so we will go a little out of order with our release order. But that's also really what I noticed with Jacob's episode, mm-hmm. how we thought he's going to come on. He's this little Daily Wire guy. And he's going to be like, well, Trump's great, and the Republican Party is so great for Jews, and blah, blah. And the first question that we asked him, talking about, you know, the partisan shift with Jews and how sort of like right, good, left, bad. He's like, well, no, not really. If anything, it's all bad. And Gen Z is just all anti-Israel. And, you know, it's all kind of just hate. And I was like, it's all hate? And he's like, yeah. And it's literally that. That meme with the Earth and the astronaut
pointing to get the other guy. And
we're going to put this up on screen, I hope. But truly, nuanced conversations actually make you realize that there's more to talk about. Like, that's really why we have the podcast. There's more than just that one statement or idea that a person represents, because it's not what they represent. It's one thing they've said. That's why there's misconceptions in our community. I think I'm going on and on. So tell me what you think about Jacob's episode.
I think let's talk about Jacob's episode. Then we could come back and do Ori's, and then we'll jump again. We'll jump forwards and cover the rest, which I think I actually had a different takeaway from Jacob's episode. I very much agree with the Gen Z point that he made, and that I think you're also agreeing with here, which is Gen Z just has a immense hatred for everything. And we have a very good bullshitometer. So we're able to call out, oh, that's crap. That's crap. But we also, at the same time, Gen Z are, I don't want to say sheep, but there's an extent of, well, they're very easy to follow a lot of this stuff, as we talked about with Shabbos.
We love trends.
We love trends.
I think that's
we
the way
love
to put it.
Trends. And
we're just so trend.
Gen Z finds the
and
free.
It's so easy to with social media.
Gen Z finds the free Palestine trend. It's trendy for them. And we also had another thing we were discussing a lot before we came on to record this episode with Jacob, where we had different takeaways regarding Trump, regarding the Republican Party, and regarding the Democrat Party, where my big takeaway was, at the current time we stand, the Republican Party is a better party for Jews. I think that is something that Jacob mentioned in the episode, and I think either without saying it or directly saying, the Republican Party represents more Jewish values than a Democrat Party does at this point. Does that mean the Republican Party is perfect? No. By all means, no. There are still major problems. You still have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who preach about Jewish space lasers, and you still have people who think we shouldn't be helping Israel at all, and complete isolationism, which we know doesn't work. But at the same time, the Democrat Party, that problem is only expounded. That problem is only made significantly worse with their party, where they have the squad with AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, where, as it currently stands, the Republican Party is better for the Jews than the Democrats are. And I know you had a different takeaway on this than I did.
Uh-huh. I will add on to that. And I think the reason why is that on the left, anti-Semitism is not labeled anti-Semitism. It's anti-Zionism and, you know, different forms of that, but it's done in a way where it's tolerable and it's allowed, and it kind of fits with the whole themes and structure and narrative that the left in general already has. When you talked about DEI and that type of thing, it's all kind of fits in to this little like system that they've created with their ideas and narratives. On the right, it's just straight up anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism and the conspiratorial aspect and everything, that's all right wing. And so it's bad everywhere. But this is a personal point that I'll make, that the problem, what needs to be tackled, is anti-Zionism. Saying anti-Semitism equals anti-Zionism, we're doing too many steps. I'm not even saying I 100% agree with that. But it's so much jumping of anti-Semitism is bad, and here are all the trillions of reasons why it's pretty similar to anti-Zionism, and so therefore anti-Zionism is bad. Stop it there. That is, I think, the way that we should actually be tackling all of this as a community. Not anti-Semitism fighting. Yeah, sure, hatred's bad. Do it. But anti-Zionism fighting specifically, and I don't know how to do that. But that's the reason, because the right is, yeah, we're anti-Semitic, and the left is, what are you talking about? We're anti-Zionist. They're both bad.
Horseshoe theory, right? So you have a horseshoe, and both sides, the far left and the far right, come around, and it's just manifested. It's the same thing, but with a different font. So one's in Times New Roman and one's in Calibri, right? It's the same thing, but different font. And I take slight issue with saying, oh, the right doesn't hide their anti-Semitism. To an extent, the right does somewhat hide their anti-Semitism. They hide it behind—
I'm talking the fringes.
Right. We're talking the far right and the far left. And I want to make a point of like, oh, anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism. Definitionally, they are different. If you look at the actual definition of anti-Semitism versus anti-Zionism, they are different. However, the definition itself doesn't matter. It's what happens in practice. It's what actually happens when you put pen to paper, when you put the words in somebody's mouth. Anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are in fact the same. And the left hides behind anti-Zionism. And they say, oh, we don't even hate Israel. We just hate the Israeli government. It's all Bibi's fault. It's all their fault. But then the language they're actually using is not only anti-Zionist, it's also anti-Semitic. It fits into the big Venn diagram. Usually Venn diagram has the small overlap in the middle. No, with them, it's like a 99% overlap. It's basically one big circle, which is, again, to bring it back to the original point of why I think we had a disagreement over what the actual takeaway from Jacobs was, and that's part of the reason everybody gets a different takeaway from every single episode. If everybody got the same takeaway, it's not beneficial. You want people to be free.
It's not a nuanced dynamic conversation.
Exactly. And Jacobs, my takeaway was, and this is something I've already thought for a while, but his episode kind of reinforced it, as many problems as the Republican Party does have, it is more of the party at the moment. Again, things could change in the future, but at the moment, as it currently stands, Republican Party is the party for the Jewish people, and the party that is more pro-Israel than the left and the Democrat Party is in the United States.
See, just, I see that as, that's where we started with him. I think it's surface level. Yeah, the Republicans are better, I guess. That's why more Jews voted for Trump. Like, yeah. And we could talk, right now, a topical thing to talk about is his Middle East trip and the Qatar plane and all these things. We will talk about that in a future episode.
We'll have Jacob back maybe to talk about that.
I have to text him, but hi, Jacob. We want you back. I think overall, to what you said, it's a question of what the definition of Zionism is. If you ask a pro-Palestinian protester the definition of Zionism, I am willing to bet a lot of money that they won't say the right of Jews to self-determine in their ancestral homeland. That is a problem. I think Zionism equals genocide, or Zionism equals, I don't have another example, another bad thing. Zionism is racism. There we go. It's the language of the people that are against us. And then we say ancestral homeland, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. When Ben-Gvir says it's our ancestral homeland, he's talking about Greater Israel from Egypt to Iraq. This is, again, a general thing. I mean, we interview influencers about all this type of stuff, but this is something that a really general point that I have, that's what is our narrative with Zionism, you know? The other side has this narrative, and I feel like they stick to it pretty well, I want to say. But we're so diverse. And let's move on to our episode with Uri. So what was your main conclusion from
Uri Cohen? I think let's do a bit of a lightning round here. We'll do Uri, and then we'll hop over back into order again. We'll talk about Aaron as well. I think my main takeaway with Uri, and we'll try and summarize this for each of us in like one paragraph, right? Since it's a lightning round, I'll put a sound effect in here, which is my main takeaway was social media portrays, and I think this is generally well known, but he really put like emphasis on this. Social media portrays things very differently to what they actually are. And in addition to that, Israel and America, as portrayed not only on social media, but in real life, there is a vast, vast distinction between the two. As he gave examples of in the episode, something super serious will be happening in Israel. And it's barely talked about. But one anti-Semitic graffiti incident happens in the States, and it's everywhere. We got to talk about it everywhere. Because in Israel, it's the norm. But in the States, this is never seen before.
Mm-hmm. And I'll take that in a little bit of a meta way. Uri is, you know, I'm closest with him out of everyone that we've interviewed. Like, he really is my good friend. And his online persona, oh my gosh, Petach Tikva, this and that. Like, if you put a camera in his face, he's going to go in with that one-liner and he's going to be funny every single time and it's going to hit. But he, as a person, he's very, like, he knows actually what he's talking about and he knows what he's doing. He wouldn't get to this point otherwise. And so that's kind of like a little meta thing of what you were saying. But overall, what I took from him is this messaging of our community and all our influencers telling us to take action and speak up, da da da. He was really pushing the point of like taking action into action. And it also gave me just a lot more of a drive of actually, like, you know, doing this podcast and working on it and having important, as much as possible, things to say while staying humble.
So
like Danielle has said, and that's kind of like the main thing that kind of like I took out after we hit that stop record. So now let's kind of get back into order with Aaron. And Aaron, I really enjoyed, especially because he's Canadian and because I know him pretty well. And this idea that security, everyone's talking about safety, da da da. All the parents in the schools are upset because safety, and we need to be safe. And here we have a security guy that's the head of all of these protests, flew a few blocks away from me in Canada. And how to actually stay safe, how to actually protect ourselves. It was a very important conversation. And it's something that's not the most prominent thing when we have all these influencers and stuff. But nevertheless, that's what we do at the end of the day. The
It's
common person, they want to go to a rally and a protest. How do we go about it?
and
So I love that we
I
were
think
able
on
to
top
talk
of
about
that,
that.
security is the actual physical manifestation of all the things we talk about. We talk about fighting anti-Semitism, we talk about doing all of this stuff to combat anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism, to stop all these anti-Israel protests and stuff. But at the end of the day, the actual physical nature of it, not just talk, but the physical nature is security. Is making sure that we are stay not only that we can protect ourselves, but that we can protect our communities as a whole and make sure that anti-Semites can't infiltrate them and start giant protests outside of shuls like we've seen in places like LA or Toronto or New York or major Jewish communities. And then jumping into our last two episodes, which is Charlotte and Shifra. These have been two of our media, some of our best episodes yet. Start with Charlotte. I think my main takeaway was the two really, and we'll keep going in this lightning round style here, to try and cap off the episode. But Charlotte was education first and foremost, as that's part of the reason she started the Jerusalem Education Institute, is and just like we talked about Shabbos, it's making sure people know better than to say these really idiotic things about Israel or Judaism or Zionism and stuff like that is education. And secondly, getting your point across, not only in as little time as possible, but also taking your time and getting your point across, where you should be able to take
Be
to be
captivating, not
captivating.
stealing someone's attention.
Right. Don't just
She
be
said it herself,
wordy.
the anti-soundbite
Don't
person.
just be wordy. Actually engage somebody to have a 10-minute conversation with them. Not just a 1-minute video. Have a long conversation.
This whole episode, you and I have just been saying how having a conversation makes you realize, oh, a person doesn't just represent this one thing. Chavez doesn't just represent, yeah, Trump is the best ever. Jacob just doesn't represent, yeah, republicanism, that's the only way Jews could be. No, there's so much to actually dig into, and there's nuance with it. And that's really Charlotte. Charlotte was kind of being meta with the idea that this long form commentary on what's actually going on here is super important. The entire time with Charlotte, truly, like I am her number one fangirl ever, and I was literally like I was stumbling on my words. So I'm just like, I love Charlotte. And it's so funny because a few days before that, I was literally in New York with her having like this deep conversation. But I love Charlotte so much. I can't even say anything more because she said it times 10. I love everything she has to say. I want to be Charlotte when I'm older. Moving on, let's talk about Shifra and her embodying almost like this fake Jewish socialite, some might even say.
Some might say that.
She should have been our podcast. Let's just step back. She will take it over. When you're playing Monopoly or something, and it's just taking too long and someone switches your place.
Sub it's
She
a
is our
she's the pinch
podcast.
hitter. She's a, if we're going for a baseball reference, she's a pinch hitter or the relief pitcher, where her points were just so every single thing, even when we disagreed, we're like, that has so much validity to it. Everything
I
we were
was
talking
showing
about,
it
the
to my
money and the
mom.
galas.
My mom goes, I like this girl. I'm like, me too. Me freaking too. Genuinely my favorite influencer. Sorry to everyone we've interviewed or not interviewed yet. I mean, she just hits it. Like, she is just hitting the nail on the head. Again, I mean, I don't want to just say everything she said because there's an episode to watch.
And
But
everybody should go
this
check out
idea
every
of
single episode.
accountability. Yeah, check it
Everybody.
out. Oh my God, link in bio, ha. Accountability. I believe what I took away from her is that we should be running this community like a government. And maybe this is just me working for government and it's in my mind saying that. But, taxpayer dollars, everything is public. Everything we spend our money on is public. And I think every single dollar that we invest into all of this should not be spent on random bullshit, whatever you define as random bullshit. Well, shitometer, that's us.
That's us.
But it really, we should be thinking every single dollar, every single tiny decision we have of what to spend these so much. We have the World Zionist Congress or something, $1 billion. What is this? every single cent should be something towards something meaningful, substantial, and the most helpful way
and
of spending that money.
I actually take issue with your government point, because I vote, as people probably tell, I vote Republican, and I'm very anti-government spending, and I actually think the government is quite inefficient. Now, it's not to diss on your government job and everything like that, but I think the community should be run like a business, but not the current business it is. Currently, it's run like a Hollywood-esque business, right? Where money's just being poured into projects that aren't necessarily going to achieve anything, and this will be my last point, and then we'll cap it off, and we'll just run it for next week. But it should be run like a proper business. CEO, management, all that stuff, like a proper business where every, like you said, every single dollar should be going to make sense and should be going to making, not only making more money, but actually providing more influence into the community and make, getting the right people out there. Every dollar spent like a real business, like a proper business.
Or maybe it shouldn't be this whole system, business, government,
and it should
industry,
be individualized.
And we should all just hang out.
Let's all just
maybe
split.
It doesn't have to be this serious.
As a friend, as my cousin used to say when he played Risk with a good friend of ours, let's just split the world and eat chocolate. Let's just have a good time.
Let's hang out and free Petah Tikva and my life. And I'm trying to reference all the influencers we've had here. Jonah, let's take our outro away.
Thank you for listening to The Influence, a show that sets the record straight and explores the world of influencers, content creators, and more. My name is Jonah, and with me, as always, is Amanda, and we will see you in the next one.
The Influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jonah Hoffman.